Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Play ball. Major League Baseball has begun a 60-game regular season, about 100 games less than a normal regular season because of the coronavirus pandemic. With no fans in attendance, the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers both posted victories on opening night. On a rainy night here in Washington, the Yankees defeated the reigning World Series champion Washington Nationals. The AP's Craig Heist reports.
Gerrit Cole allowed one run on one hit over five innings and outpitched Max Scherzer as the Yankees beat the Nationals 4-1 in a rain-shortened game to start the 2020 season. Giancarlo Stanton hit a long two-run homer off Scherzer in the first inning and later drove in a run with a single. Gleyber Torres drove in the other Yankee run. Cole was making his first start for the Yankees after signing a $324 million deal in the offseason.
No one could have envisioned the type of year that we're having this year, so... But within those parameters, it exceeded every mark.
Scherzer gave up four runs and six hits over five and a third innings before the game was eventually called. Adam Eaton homered for the Nationals. Craig Heist, Washington.
Thanks, Craig. Washington's young Dominican star Juan Soto did not play in the game. The Nationals announced just hours before their home opener that the 21-year-old Soto tested positive for COVID-19. Under Major League Baseball protocols, Soto has to test negative twice in a span of 24 hours in order to return to the lineup. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has led the fight against the coronavirus here in the USA, threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Nationals-Yankees game. Meanwhile, in an all-California matchup, the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the San Francisco Giants by seven runs, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers.
Kike Hernandez homered, drove in five runs, and the Dodgers opened baseball's shortened season with an 8-1 win over the Giants.
That was a great night. I think it's something that I've put a lot of work in and, you know, try to stay consistent with not trying to do too much. And that's basically the approach that I took tonight, and it paid off.
Rookie Dustin May started in place of Clayton Kershaw, a late scratch with a back issue. May went 4 1/3, and the bullpen followed with 4 2/3 scoreless frames. Adam Kolarik got the win. Tyler Rogers took the loss. Mookie Betts had one hit in his Dodger debut.
Everybody contributes. Everybody, you know, there's that one person that we're relying on. It's just... We're just waiting, passing the baton back. I mean, our guys are going to put them zeros. We're scoring, you know, crooked numbers. It's just a full team effort. You can't ask for anything better than what we have here.
Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Mozambique, where the pandemic, like in many areas of Africa, has had a big impact on sports. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with staff of National Department of Higher Performance Sports in Mozambique, Fernando Diaz.
The effect of COVID-19 on sport in Mozambique was negative, since all sport activities were paralyzed. No sport activities were allowed, and the clubs were left with financial charges. But without incomes to face the demands, taking account that they were unable to make commitments to sponsors.
What has been the fate of athletes in your country since COVID-19 lockdown was imposed?
We can say that the athletes have to stay at home without training or competition. What is affecting their sporting level, and on the other hand, their financial condition, which affects also their social situation. But for those athletes who has international commitments were granted a special status to restart training under specific protocols due monitoration by the government entities.
Any plans to restart sporting activities in Mozambique?
We are working as a government to restart. The first stage we are preparing, we are dealing with the sport organizations, the better way to restart, to find a better way to respond to that situation. And in accordance with the evolution of the emergency situation, the recent decision of the Republic President, which accompanied by the government agents, joint work is underway between the government sport entity and the national sport organizations to establish procedures and guarantee the resumption of the activities gradually. Also, to guarantee the compensation for all sport organizations. We are aware that the clubs, on those moments, they can't face their financial bills, and they are looking forward to find the sponsorships, and we are looking the better way to support the clubs so may they face all challenges are facing in those moments to restart the sport gradually.
That's Fernando Diaz, staff of National Department of Higher Performance Sports in Mozambique. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Maputo, Mozambique.
Sport greetings. My name is Fernando Diaz, staff of National Department of Higher Performance Sport in Mozambique. You listen to the Sun Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contact COVID-19. Thanks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a pioneering female football official in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Lawyer and writer Bessie Kazadi made history by becoming the first woman ever to be elected as president of the DRC football giant AS Vita Club. Kazadi was elected earlier this month.
My vision is essentially based on sport business. I want to make V Club a financially independent club that is to say to generate our own funds, generate income for the club to allow athletes to have good working conditions to sign win-win contracts and to make good recruitments. Have a proactive and ambitious technical staff who have a winning project and a sport project. I think that it's very important to have those human, financial and material resources to make V Club a successful club.
The first African coach to win a European League title, Nigeria's Emmanuel Ndubuisi Egbo, believes his personal success will add value to football management on the African continent. Coach Egbo won the Albanian Top Flight League title.
I believe it's not only just a celebration for me, it's a celebration for all Africans, all Nigerians, and all black race everywhere they are, for this wonderful, amazing feat that we succeeded in doing all the way far away from my own country. But it's still sinking down because I was just thinking I was doing my job just to train my team to try to win the league after 11 years away not winning the league.
Staying with football news, the South African Football Association has released a statement giving their full support towards the Black Lives Matter movement. SAFA's statement comes hours after South African football legend Mark Fish shocked the world by openly criticizing the hashtag BLM movement on Twitter. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitchell Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Fulham's Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. VOA's Jim Stevenson teed off his latest game room sports package with American golf star Tiger Woods. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to the game room.
Quite frankly, a Ryder Cup without fans is not the Ryder Cup.
Golf's Ryder Cup is out, but Tiger is back. Tiger Woods returned to action on the PGA Tour for the first time since February at the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. But it's the biennial Ryder Cup team tournament between the United States and Europe that was on his mind.
As far as I can remember, I've always seen people involved in a Ryder Cup and the chanting and screaming and the participation, the bipartisanship that has been, you know, part of the sport and part of the event.
The Ryder Cup, scheduled for September, was lost in the rough amid continuing concerns over the coronavirus pandemic. Organizers were not able to guarantee the venue in Wisconsin could safely welcome spectators this year and opted to push the event back until 2021. Woods agrees with the decision to cancel.
I think that what they did was suspending it for the year and then moving into next year was the right thing.
Although a handful of players and caddies have contracted coronavirus, Woods likes the PGA Tour response.
The tour's done a fantastic job of setting up the safety of and trying to ensure that all of us are protected and are safe. The screening, the testing we've done, the protection that we try to implement on the tour have shown that we've had to make adjustments, but it's a risk that I'm willing to take.
The 44-year-old Woods matched Sam Snead's long-standing all-time record of 82 wins when he claimed victory at the Zozo Championship in Japan last October. He's now looking to own the record outright. cricket's world governing body, the International Cricket Council, has officially confirmed the men's 2020 World Cup, originally scheduled for October in Australia, has been postponed a full year because of the coronavirus pandemic.
We finally came to a position to take the decision to postpone the 2020 T20 World Cup because of the COVID-19 pandemic situation and how we see that developing and across.
ICC Chief Executive Manu Swahini says the event had to be pushed back given the sheer number of people directly involved in hosting the tournament, which includes 15 other nations with different levels of COVID-19 infection.
You know, you're looking at close to 20,000 accredited people who are required to run an event. And for that kind of magnitude, to make sure that everybody is safe and secure is an extremely important decision that was taken through.
He says many options were considered.
We looked at options like air bubbles. We looked at options, could we have it in reduced venues? We looked at options, could we play behind closed doors? And we also looked at the various information that we were getting from government authorities.
And there was a detail many people overlook.
We were extremely conscious also of not putting undue pressure on the national health services, which would have led to possibility of compromising the kind of facilities that were available to the local public there on this account. So that also played a huge part in coming to the decision on that.
Swahini says the postponement has led to a reshaping of the men's international cricket calendar in order to accommodate bilateral series which have been postponed everywhere since March except in England.
The first window available in October-November 2021 for the T20 with the final being scheduled for 14th of November. We have the second window scheduled for October-November 2022 with the final being scheduled for 13th November. That kind of gives you a very good 12 months gap between the two tournaments. And then the board also took the decision of basically moving the ICC Cricket World Cup, Men's Cricket World Cup, from February-March 2023 to October-November 23, with the final being scheduled for 26th of November.
He says the postponement creates new opportunities.
It's extremely important, and I think it's a huge step for the sport, because what it does is it basically now enables our various members to be able to play their domestic and the bilateral series, which has been disrupted on account of the COVID-19. It provides that time. It also provides the time for players to basically, you know, train and get ready for the big stage, whether it is T20 or whether it's the Cricket World Cup. And most importantly, it basically helps us retain the integrity of the qualification process.
As for the T20 World Cup,
the planning for the event continues as scheduled.
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
You know, my job out there is obviously to make no mistakes, which I didn't.
Perfect again. Lewis Hamilton won the Hungarian Grand Prix for the eighth time Sunday to equal Michael Schumacher's single-venue record. Hamilton did it where the rubber meets the road.
To manage the tires the way I do, that's something I'm constantly trying to work on. I'm constantly studying how to improve and home in on that tool that I have.
Edging ahead to take over this season's championship lead from Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas, Hamilton credits his team for the support needed to win.
But this team just continues to amaze me. I love working with them, and I'm grateful that I can perform them on days or weekends like this.
The British driver's 86th career Grand Prix victory moved him just five behind German great Schumacher's all-time F1 record of 91. Red Bull's Max Verstappen finished second. His crew only just managed to get the car onto the grid for the race after Verstappen damaged his front wing and suspension when going over a curb and sliding into the barriers on the warm-up lap.
Yeah, it was incredible to even start the race. So after I hit the wall, I thought that was it. So to get out there, and then we had a really good start. we had the right strategy, I think, as well. So I could build a bit of a gap to the guys behind. And, to come home in second was like a victory for us. I definitely didn't expect to be second here today. And, of course, a big thank you to the mechanics, to be able to repair the car so quickly.
Valtteri Bottas settled for third after a poor start.
It was really odd. I was looking at the start lights, waiting for them to go off. Some light, pretty bright, changed in my dash. Either went off or on. I don't know really what happened. So just automatically reacted to that instead of the start lights. And then I was late for the actual start.
Hamilton, who has now won two of the opening three races, has 68 points, five ahead of Bottas at the top of the driver standings. Fabio Quartararo smashed the lap record at the Circuito de Juarez Saturday to take the pole position ahead of the Spanish Grand Prix, the first race of the rescheduled 2020 MotoGP season and second overall.
A really good day, honestly. Like I said yesterday to my crew and to my people, that FP1 was the toughest one of my MotoGP career. And finally, FP2, we find a really good setup on the bike. Really, really happy and I'm feeling good, because I don't lose the time attack mode. Let's say that was our strong point from last year, and honestly feeling good.
The French Petronas Yamaha rider clocked 1 minute 36.705 seconds to beat the previous lap record he himself set in an earlier practice run. So it's no surprise Quartararo would go on to win the actual race on Sunday, the second event of the season for both the Moto2 and Moto3 classes, after they completed their season opening race in Qatar on March 8th. The Game Room opens with news stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Let's send some early happy birthday wishes to Nigerian football coach Emmanuel Egbo, who we heard from earlier in the show in Samson Omale's report. Coach Egbo talked about celebrations. Well, he certainly has reason to celebrate his 47th birthday on Saturday. The former Super Eagles goalkeeper became the first Nigerian coach to lead a European team to a league title last weekend, when KF Tirana lifted the Albanian Super League title. Coach Egbo is also believed to be the first African coach to accomplish that with a European team. As I've said on the show a few times this week, let's consider that Albanian Super League championship an early birthday present for Coach Egbo. During his playing days, he was a member of the Nigerian team that won a silver medal at the 2000 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ghana. And he was also on the Nigerian team that won a bronze medal at the 2002 Nations Cup in Mali. And Coach Egbo also has playing ties with KF Tirana. As a goalkeeper, he won three trophies with the Albanian Football Club. Celebrating a birthday on this Friday is Hall of Fame basketball player Carl the Mailman Malone. Malone is celebrating his 57th birthday. The Mailman is regarded as one of the greatest power forwards in basketball history, Malone ranks second all-time in scoring in the NBA, trailing only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Carl the Mailman Malone won the NBA's Most Valuable Player Award in 1997 and 1999, and he was a 14-time NBA All-Star. And that wraps up the July 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.